Welcome to Dirtbag Church Christ. This month, we're having different people give their testimony, and since I'm asking other people to do so, I figured it's only proper that I do so myself. So, to start off, I'm going to read a series of verses that I think basically tell my testimony, and then as I'm talking later, maybe these will come back in your mind and you'll see how they tie in. Train up your child according to the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Count it all joy, my brothers, whenever you fall into various trials, knowing that the proving of your faith works out endurance. And let endurance have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. But if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and does not reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, doubting nothing. For he who doubts is like the surge of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed about. For that man does not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-souled man, unstable in all his ways. And let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in being brought low, because like a flower of the grass he will pass away. For the sun rises in its scorching heat, and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So also the rich man will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures trial, because when he has become approved by testing, he will receive the crown of life, which he promised to those who love him. And do not be fashioned according to the age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to be sober-minded, as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. Therefore, leaving the word at the beginning of Christ, let us be brought on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance for dead works and of faith in God, of teaching of baptisms and laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead and of the eternal judgment. And this we will do, if God permits. Therefore, do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For our momentary lightness of affliction works out for us more and more surpassingly an eternal weight of glory, because we do not regard the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Therefore, let us also, having a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, put away every encumbrance and sin which so easily entangles us, and run with endurance the race which is set before us, looking away into Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down on the right hand of the throne of God. Like Derek, my testimony is not a largely dramatic testimony. You know, we always love to hear those testimonies of people who were absolutely in the pits, you know, lost in drug abuse or whatever, and got saved in a very dramatic experience, kind of like Paul on the road. Mine's not that way. I was raised in a very loving Christian home by two Christian parents. My dad very passionate lover of the Lord. And he was saved out in a ranch house out in West Texas, sitting in the living room watching a black and white television with rabbit ears. And the only thing that the rabbit ears would come with, the only channel that the rabbit ears got, happened to be playing a Billy Graham TV special. He was up in his 20s, and Dad hit his knees right there in front of the black and white TV. Mom, and I'll finish on Dad. Dad, very passionate man. But, like very many passionate, overly passionate people, not always that consistent. Very much a passionate person. Passionate people tend to have dips and peaks and dips and peaks and dips. And so he was not always that consistent in his faith, but very passionate nonetheless. He filled in as a preacher all the time wherever we lived. And like a lot of people who are very passionate and struggle with ups and downs, he struggled with depression the majority of my life. Mom, on the other hand, exactly the opposite. She's the rock. Just the most consistent, faithful lover of the Lord that I know. My whole life set a great example for us. You know, at 5:30 in the morning, you don't have to ask or wonder where Mom is. Mom's sitting on the couch with her little tea cup of coffee and her Bible. That's where she'll be, 5:30 in the morning. Very consistent and faithful. My parents were very good about, mainly led by my mother, instilling the Word of God in us at a young age. We didn't have a TV in our house, and so Mom kind of ran the entertainment, and a lot of times that had to do with doing memory verses at the kitchen table. When we were on a road, driving that back and forth to the ranch, we'd sing Bible songs led by Mom. And so the whole time I was raised up, you know, Mom and my parents were building this foundation for me in the Lord. I was receiving, I didn't know it at the time, but I was receiving all this foundation in the Word. And so I have two older sisters, one younger brother, and so together we had our own little Bible class a lot, went to church a lot, his dad preached, and I was about in the fourth grade. My parents walked into my brother and I's bedroom and said, "You boys will get baptized today." And so we were baptized right there in the bathtub of our home in Lubbock, Texas, and he was maybe in first grade. I think I was in fourth. So anyway, for up until I was a senior in high school, therefore, I had a pretty good foundation in the Word. It was a very good understanding. I never had to question what my purpose in life was. I already knew. I'd been singing a little Bible song my whole life, you know, while I was a cup maid. Have a drink inside it. Why was a glove made? Have a hand inside it. Why was a flower base made? Have a flower inside it. Why were you and I made? Have God's life in us. I already knew. I knew what my purpose in life was, if you asked me. But up until the time I was a senior in high school, it was very much a relationship based on understanding. It was not much different than studying Texas history. It was fascinating to me. I knew I liked to learn about it. I know I liked to get in the Word, but it was very much an intellectual exercise. I knew a lot, but I had no experience. It's kind of like knowing math, but never having a use for it. And so I reached my senior year of high school, and much like everybody else, y'all realize that senior year is kind of a transitional year because you're facing some huge transitions. Mine was a little bit more so. Of course, football was over, something that had consumed me for, I don't know, 6 or 7 years. Football was over. I found out midway through my senior year that I was going to be moving my parents out to Far West Texas to Van Horn right after I graduated, much to the chagrin of my younger brother, who was a freshman, not very happy about moving. So I had that transition to think about. I was trying to figure out what in the world I was going to major in when I go to college and where I was going to go to college. And so all these factors drove me to seek the Lord. And not in an intellectual knowledge way, but I really started seeking the Lord's will for my life, for a direction, for all these things. And kind of by a blessing of God, so did my younger brother. And he was facing moving high schools, and it was going to be a rough time. And the lesson there is that, you know, it's a lot of times it's the hardships that drive us to the Lord. Count it blessings when you have trials. Yeah, exactly, because that's what made us go seek him out. And that's what happened. And so through my senior year, especially the spring semester of my senior year, I was really seeking. Decided to go to ACU because I felt like that was the best place I could think of based on my older sister's stories, because she was there already at ACU. Based on hearing her talk about her professor leading a prayer right before every single class, I was like, if there's a place for me to go find a true relationship with the Lord, this one would be the best place for me. This is going to give me the best opportunity to do so. So, had that decision out of the way, got my parents moved off to Van Horn. Walt and I had, my younger brother Walt, and I had about 2 or 3 weeks there before I headed off to ACU. And we started telling each other, because we didn't know at the time, we started telling each other about the fact that we were really seeking the Lord. I'd already been really seeking hard for about 6 months plus, and come to find out, so had he. But we never told each other, which is funny because we've lived together. And so we really started talking about that, and that was right before I went off to school. We went off to school, and Walt and I started corresponding via telephone calls and letters, and we both had the same crisis. I call it a crisis, it really wasn't that big of a crisis, but we both had reached a roadblock in that I really wanted a sincere, deep relationship with the Lord, but I hit a barrier. It was like, I'm not going anywhere. I felt like I was spinning my wheels. And one day I mentioned that to Walt, and he's like, yeah, glad you mentioned it, because me too. And so I said, well, let's just pray about that. And we prayed about it for a while, weeks, frustrating weeks. And one day he calls me. I remember I'm in my dorm room at ACU, and he calls me. He said, Will, he had been to a high school Christian conference the week prior, and he said, I think I figured it out. And I said, hey, what is it? I'm dying to know. And he said, I think we need to be rebaptized. And I said, let's do it. When and where? Let's go. Because if that's going to fix the issue, then I'm in. I'm all in. And so within about a week, he was baptized out there, and I was baptized in a little dirt tank outside of Abilene, Texas, by a good friend of ours. And folks, I'll tell you, the floodgates opened for me. What had been a very logical understanding turned into a real relationship. And the next few months were fantastic, to say the least. I finally felt absolutely one with the Lord. Like I was walking with God. fact, I remember walking one day, I'm walking from Bay View Dorm across campus to the business school, and I just remember thinking to myself, this is what it's like. This is what it's meant by walking with the Lord. This is what it means to unceasingly pray. Of course, as a freshman, you got a lot of time. I mean, y'all know, your freshman classes, for future reference, your freshman classes aren't very hard for a reason. I mean, that's good because you're transitioning anyway, but I mean, I never hardly had to study for anything as a freshman. It's just, I mean, bowling. What are you going to study about bowling, right? I mean, you got to take, I think I had to take a business math. Well, I'd already been through calculus in high school and didn't have to open the book, you know. So I had a lot of time. And I had a lot of time to spend with the Lord. And I happened to fall in with some guys that also loved the Lord. And it was just a very great time. And I remember walking across campus that day. And that was one of those landmark moments. Everybody has landmarks in your life, you know. Whether you're an athlete or whether it's just in your regular life or what it is, you have a landmark. We're like, hey, I remember on this day, at this point in time, I ran this race, and I felt fantastic. My legs were perfect. My energy level was perfect. You know, the weather was perfect, and everything felt just clicked. Or I couldn't miss a shot. This game, I was on, so, I mean, I could have shot from a half court and made every single shot that I threw up. Everybody has those landmarks. And the great thing about those is they give us something to look back on when we realize, yeah, I'm not there right now. It makes me work harder when I go out and run when I know my legs aren't there. But it builds that fire in us that we're like, hey, I need to go train harder so that one of these days I'll have another race like that one where everything just worked. It keeps us hungry. And that's what happened. That was a landmark moment for me in my Christian walk. Because I was in fellowship with the Lord. And the beautiful thing is those moments help us understand when we aren't close to the Lord. You'd think that would be so easy for us to know. Is, well, you know when you're not close to the Lord. Well, yeah, but you know, it's kind of like saying that a Twinkie is just the best dessert out there. Well, only if you haven't tasted my grandmother's cherry pie. Then you wouldn't even touch a Twinkie. In fact, you wouldn't even let it near your mouth because it would taste awful to you compared to my grandmother's cherry pie. And so that's why I say that until we have one of those experiences like that where it is just dead on, sometimes we don't even realize that there's a separation between us and the Lord. So anyway, had this experience, I guess I was a freshman at ACU, and I would love to be able to tell you today that my walk with the Lord since that day on the campus of ACU has been sunshine and roses. But the reality is that is not the truth, and y'all know that is not the truth. When we start having fellowship and oneness with the Lord, we have to know right up front, you better watch out. Because what's going to happen? Boy, the evil one does not like it, and he's going to come after you. Just like Pharaoh coming after the children of Israel when they're fleeing out of Egypt. You know, he was pulling a Dukes of Hazzard, you know, in hot pursuit. And here he had his chariots, and he's chasing down these people on foot. Because they're leaving. And that's what happens to us. When we start following and having fellowship and oneness with the Lord, guess what's going to happen? The evil one is going to pursue you. And so, my walk since that day on ACU campus has been a series of failures and reconciliation with the Lord. And, you know, the funny thing about that is that the Lord does not move. We do. You know, the Lord's immovable. He's the stationary object in the relationship. separation between yourself, or when I feel a separation between myself and the Lord, I don't have to ask, did God move? God doesn't move. We move. And I know I'm drifting away. Whether that be because Satan is using my career, or family issues, or no matter whatever it is that he's using, if I feel myself separating, if I feel a separation, I don't have to ask, well, did God change? No, God doesn't change. I've drifted. And so the majority of my 20-some-odd years of my Christian walk have been me realizing I've drifted, hitting my knees and repenting, and coming back and reconnecting with the Lord and having that oneness again. That's our driver. You know, we don't have to be driven by fear. We don't have to be driven by fear as Christians. That's not what we're driven by. We're driven by this burning desire for a oneness with the Lord. That's what we're driven by. So anyway, that's my testimony. Like I say, it's not very exciting and not very dramatic, and nothing that you're going to go home and write your parents about. So what I want you to get out of my story, I got six things. The first is, for us parents, we have to build a foundation of the Word in our children. We have to plant those seeds. My mom had to be the most frustrated person in the world with me, because she had been planting seeds in me since I was born, and she never saw any kind of benefit, or very little benefit, never saw a plant come up in me until I was a freshman in college. 19 years old. So for 18 years, she planted seeds. And if y'all know my mom, you can't be around her very long before she's going to say something about God. She's going to ask you, or she's going to share a verse with you. She's going to do something. 18 years of that, planting those seeds with no fruit. She saw nothing. So us as parents, we have to be those who plant the seeds, and we just wait and let the Lord let those bloom when he sees fit. Second thing is, trials drive us to the Lord. Don't look at your situation and be disgruntled. Look at the trials that we're going through and say, man, this is what is going to drive me to hunger and thirst after the Lord. Third, we have to be those who call a spade a spade. We have to be those who are willing to say, you know, the things that Satan is attracting me with, because he knows better than to throw the really bad stuff at me, because he knows I'm not going to go do coke. He knows I'm not. It's useless. Why would he throw cocaine at me? No, he's much smarter than that, right? The things that he uses are good things. But we have to be willing to call the spade a spade. He uses my career. He uses my busy schedule. He uses my girls' athletic stuff to drive a wedge between the Lord and I by distracting me. And we have to be those who realize it and call a spade a spade. Realize it can be something that's good. Perfectly good, but if it's driving a wedge between you and the Lord, it's distracting you from your call, we have to call it and say, that's not a good thing for me. Fourth, go on to maturity. I was raised in a culture the ranch culture. And in ranch culture, it's just built in. It's part of the culture. It's part of the cowboy mindset that you give glory to the Lord. I grew up in that world. I grew up in a world where I was just like Derek. I was surrounded by men who I idolized. Great men of God. Tom Morehouse, John Gaither. I could just list them and list them and list them. Great men of God. Great cowboys. Guys that I really idolized. And all of them were very quick to give the glory to the Lord. But if all we do is adopt Christianity because it's part of my culture, it's part of my upbringing, we're going to have this very elementary understanding and very elementary relationship, and it's all going to be very basic. We have to go on and be mature, go on and grow and seek the Lord. I'm going to come back. Finally, the last thing I want us to get from it is I'm going to come back to this idea of being separated and maintaining fellowship with the Lord. It's easy to be discouraged. It's very easy as a Christian to be discouraged because you're like, man, am I repetitive or what? Why can I not just stay one with the Lord and not have things distract me or pull me away? You know, like us getting frustrated with the children of Israel. They want a judge. The Lord gives them a judge against his will. They get tired of the judge. They fall into captivity and then do it again. They're like, hey, now we need a leader. We need a judge. Like, they just yo-yoed their way because they couldn't stay faithful. And that's very much the frustration that we feel sometimes as Christians is I'm frustrated because why can't I get this right? But my encouragement is this. Don't be discouraged. Instead, every time we feel the separation between us and the Lord, we know what to do. We just hit our knees and repent. Repent and be reconciled. And my favorite part of this process is this. Therefore, we do not lose heart. But though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. If you feel like you're not new and fresh on the inside, all you have to do is go in here and repent, come to the Lord, and spend some time with Him. And we'll have that oneness again. And every time we have that oneness again, we're fresh and we're new and renewed. And we don't get as discouraged. I hope that today, not only did you learn something more about me, but two things. Hope you got something out of the word from it. And I hope that you're thinking about your testimony and the story that you have with the Lord and how useful it is. Because of all the tools that we have, the best gospel tool we have is our own testimony. Like I said the other day, you know, if you're not eating the bacon, it's hard to sell the bacon. If you're not someone who's living the life, a life with Christ, it's going to be hard to convince someone else to live the life with Christ. Right? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have blessed us each with a very unique story. And whether that be an exciting story or a very mundane story or Lord, either way, we are blessed by those testimonies. Lord, we just ask that you help us to be ready to speak to people we come in contact with, ready to share our story, so that you may become more real to them, and that the gospel may become more promising to them, and that the promise of your kingdom and the transformation that you do on that you perform on people might be give them hope. I always ask that you help us to be those who are all in for you, and that take and seize every opportunity that you put before us to share you with someone else. In your name we pray. Amen.